we had a great turnout. I think we had about 50 walkers, or 50, 60 walkers, and then we had about 13, 14 on the horses, and we had about 8, 9 guys on bikes, and then we had the 2 canines. Yeah, and we covered some ground. We realised that some of the tracks that were on Google Maps weren't actually there, which made it a little bit tough, but we managed to, yeah, sink on our feet and get as much ground covered as we could, and hopefully what we learnt today, we can do better tomorrow.
And how did all the different groups of people come together?
So it was through the Facebook page. 2 ladies, one of them lost her son. He went missing, but she managed to find him, but she knows what it's like to have a loved one missing. And another lady, her brother was missing for a while as well, but they ended up finding him. And I think there was another lady who missed her, I think it was her twin brother, and I don't think they found him. So, yeah, a lot of people came together for emotional reasons, and, like, a lot of friends and family were there, just beautiful people in, that are local, or a lady from Perth.
Corey O'Connell's sister Hayley speaking to the ABC's Rosemary Murphy there. This had us wondering, how common is it for a family to organise a missing person search separate to the searches organised by police? How can they be supported, and how successful are these family-driven searches? Lauren O'Keefe's brother Dan was 24 at the time he disappeared, and she quit her job and devoted herself to finding him. In 2013, she founded an organisation called the Missing Persons Advocacy Network to provide practical support for friends and families of missing people. The 5-year search for Daniel has ended after his remains were discovered in March 2016, but his legacy lives on through Lauren and the work she's doing to help others find their missing loved ones. Lauren joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
The search over the weekend for Corey failed to find any sign of him, but the family said that they feel much less alone, and they were really overwhelmed by the community's support. How does hearing about this search make you feel, Lauren?
Really encouraged, to be honest. You know, missing persons is a community issue. You know, police have very limited resources, and going missing, especially in non-suspicious circumstances such as Corey's, you know, it's not a crime. And so it is really important that families do see that the community cares enough to step up and support them if their loved one does go on to become long-term missing. And, you know, after a search like this, regardless of, you know, whether or not it results in a loved one being found, it's really about that demonstration of support and community spirit that is so critical to families who are desperate for answers.
Definitely. Can you share a little bit of your own story and how you came to create the Missing Persons Advocacy Network?
Yeah, so as you touched on, my brother Dan was 24 when he went missing about 11 years ago now, and similar to Corey's circumstances in that it wasn't deemed suspicious by police, we had no direction, we had no idea where to begin, and so we very much leaned on the public for support. And so a lot of that meant traditional and social media, like Hayley was touching on in her interview about how the search sort of came together for them. And so after maybe 6-12 months of really, you know, liaising with a lot of the Australian public in the search for my brother, we had other families reaching out and asking for advice. And it was really clear to me that there was a gap in support, especially around, you know, guidance, particularly in the early stages of a disappearance when time is of the essence and, you know, you need to do something, and yet police resources are very limited. So it was really about making sure that families had somewhere to turn. And so it all started with the Missing Persons Guide website. That was our charity's very first, like, sort of foundation project, if you will. And then since then, it's really grown to encompass providing both practical and emotional support to the families and friends, as well as humanising missing people, you know, getting them out of the confines of a poster that you might see on a telegraph pole or at a police station. You know, these are loved people who have stories and commitments and families who miss them greatly. And it really is about ensuring that the community feels that sort of empathy as a collective to step up and support the families who desperately need their help.
My guest this morning on ABC Southwestern Great Southern is Lauren O'Keefe, who founded the Missing Persons Advocacy Network. Now, Lauren, from that little snippet we heard from Hayley, it seems that a lot of people came together from the search who've had, you know, conducted maybe their own searches and had missing ones, loved ones go missing. How common is it for these large-scale family-driven searches like the O'Connells on the weekend?
I think more common than you'd expect. I mean, in Australia, we have a lot of people going missing. Every day, it's about 145 people are reported missing. And like I said, the police have very limited resources. So once sort of emergency services and police have conducted the initial search or avenues of search and they've all been exhausted, the families still need something more to do in order to try and find their loved ones. So it is fairly common for the longer term cases, and longer term in Australia means beyond 3 months. And, you know, Corey's been sadly missing now for more than a year. And I think Hayley and the family have done an incredible job, because although searches are common, I have not seen a search to this extent that you had over the weekend with, you know, dog handlers and people on horseback and motorbikes. So everyone involved in that search should feel incredibly proud, because, again, it's that demonstration of community spirit that has really set a fantastic example for other communities out there who have a missing loved one, to show, you know, what can be done. And, again, regardless of the fact that, you know, Corey wasn't found over the weekend, what that says to his family and his friends means more than what anyone could possibly imagine. It's really about that willingness to help and showing that kind of empathy from perfect strangers. You know, most of these people probably didn't know Corey, and it speaks volumes.
It was an incredible turnout. What advice would you have now for Hayley and her family moving forward? Keep trying to organise these big search weekends, or what usually happens from here?
It's really case by case. You know, it depends on how they're feeling as a family. And even within the family unit, each member may have a different idea of what, you know, they want to happen next. It's a very personal experience. And there is a sense of both relief and dread, because, you know, obviously you want to find your loved one, but as they remain missing, there's still that chance that, you know, they are going to one day walk back through the door. So it is a very unique type of torment that families left behind experience. It's called ambiguous loss, and it's, you know, a type of grief that is very unique. It's very complex, and a lot of psychologists around the world consider it to be the most traumatic type of loss and the most unmanageable form of stress, because human beings just aren't great at coping with uncertainty. We're not programmed to live with the not knowing. And so now, you know, we are very much focusing on trying to get as many mental health practitioners around Australia trained in ambiguous loss, so that we can connect families to those counsellors. And that's one way of, you know, coping throughout the not knowing. But then, you know, if Hayley does muster up the energy, because it does take an enormous toll physically, mentally and emotionally to organise a search on that kind of scale, if that's something that the family wishes to do in the future, then of course, you know, we would support that and implore the local community again to get behind them to show that commitment, and to make sure that, you know, Corey is still very much in the minds and the hearts of people in WA, and to not forget that he is still missing and his loved ones desperately need to know if he's okay.
Thank you so much for your thoughts and your time this morning, Lauren. If anyone's listening and would like to get in touch with your Missing Persons Advocacy Network, they can just call up and sort of go through those avenues.
We'd probably recommend going to, depends on whether or not they've got a loved one that's missing, in which case they can go to the guide, which is missingpersonsguide.com. Mm-hmm. And then our organisational website for the charity is MPAN, so MPAN.com.au, and we can go from there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for your time and your thoughts. We really appreciate you coming on the program today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That is Lauren O'Keefe there. She founded the Missing Persons Advocacy Network to provide practical support for friends and families of missing people. And we heard from Hayley O'Connell, who organised a massive search over the weekend for her brother, Corey. If this story has brought up anything, any issues for you, you can always call Lifeline on 13 11 14. It is 17 minutes